Hello, listeners. I am proud to announce a new sponsor for Made in Japan podcast. If you're a long-time listener to my podcast, you can easily guess why. For anyone visiting and living in central Tokyo, come visit the Nakameguro Tap Room from Baird Brewery. Opened in 2008, Nakameguro Tap Room is the first Tokyo area tap room from Baird Brewery. Their kitchen specializes in New Haven style appeats, which I have told you is the best style of Neapolitan pizza. New Haven style places a high emphasis on high temperature baking, fresh seasonal toppings, and a crispy light crust. Combined with all the classic Japan-based Baird beers on tap, enjoy all vintage beer hall feels at Nakameguro Tap Room. There's even a sofa area and a large TV screen great for sporting events. Only a 2-minute walk from Nakameguro Station, the tap room is open daily until 10 p.m. For more information, visit bairdbeer.com.
I'm starting to flip out, like, lose my mind.
Hey, Meljo. Everything's gonna be okay, man.
No, it's not.
Everything's gonna be okay.
It's not.
I hear you.
The amount of Netflix I watch.
Mm-hmm.
I need my popcorn.
I hear you, and I promise. Yo, dude, everything's gonna be fine. We're gonna find you your popcorn, okay? Look at me.
Yeah.
We're gonna find you your popcorn. Everything's gonna be fine.
I'm about to cry.
Everything's gonna be fine.
This is like therapy for me right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm missing my
popcorn. Do you see? This is what I do with creators. This is 80% of my job. I'd be like, yo, everything's gonna be fine. Okay? We're talking about popcorn right now. Everything's fine. Dude, you're good. Awesome.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
Hey there. Welcome to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. This is my podcast about Japan, but it's not just your run-of-the-mill, cool Japan podcast. I want to explore a side of Japan besides sushi and sumo, anime and video games. I'm here to extrapolate and meditate with the local people that your travel guide probably doesn't touch on. People that are hungry for making it, and people that have made it. This podcast is my talks with them. What is happening, everyone out here listening to my podcast? As you know, Made in Japan podcast is mostly a donation-based podcast to feed the production and feed me and the beverages of my guest. Feel free to stop by ko-fi.com/Made in Japan podcast. That's ko-fi.com/Made in Japan podcast. Feel free to donate whatever you want to this production of this podcast and the beverages for my guests. I am actually super fired up to have this episode going on because I'm going to say this is my first episode this year, this season, where I'm actually chatting with my guest face to face. And I did it with all the safety precautions, you know, the masking and the washing the hands and everything because of my new sponsor. If you have listened in the beginning of this episode, my new sponsor is the Nakameguro Tap Room, sponsored by, you know, Baird Brewery. And I just want to say shout out to all my homeboys and homegirls that are working at the Nakameguro Tap Room. They are doing a great job taking care of the customers. And, you know, the beer hall itself is quite spacious and everyone's spread out. And they're just doing all the safety precautions. So for real, that was awesome. And it's great that they can accommodate me. And shout out to Brian Baird, too, to help me out with this. Being able to bring guests on to my podcast face to face. So yeah, so with this episode, this is the first one this year where I can, you know, actually hang out and chat with my guest. And the guest is no small feat. She is a lioness. She is, how do I describe Ali? Her name is Ali Sakakibara, and she is a self-proclaimed professional weirdo, as what she says on her Instagram page. But you know, she's dabbled in many types of social media forms. She also dabbles in modeling, but we've met through Clubhouse, and yeah, I just thought that she would be great to have on as my first guest, being face to face, and I just think it was just fun to hang out and like hear her story about how she's here in Japan, whether it's being a bilingual MC, working for Discovery Japan, and or just, you know, just rocking out on her YouTube channel. She's doing it all. She's doing it all, and I think I shouldn't, you know, I shouldn't waste any time, and just let's have it go at this interview. So yeah, here's my homegirl, Ali Sakakibara, professional weirdo, bilingual MC, and a digital content creator. So without further ado, here we go.
Living the dream.
Yeah.
But,
Oh, thank you.
No, this is on the house, yeah.
Oh, cheers, man. Thank you, man.
Alright. So important.
But, like,
Not important.
Not important at all.
Mr. Baird, it's so nice to meet you. I didn't realize that you're.
You do realize this episode is sponsored by.
Oh, yeah. No, sponsored by Baird Beer. Wait, but, they're from like Ibaraki or something. No, Shizuoka.
They're from Shizuoka.
They are, right? Yeah. Yes. No, because they sponsored an event that I did like 3 years ago.
Okay.
So I met him. I met Mr. Baird.
What'd you think about Brian?
Oh, no. I mean, like, it was just in passing. I was just MC for an event. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you should go back and listen to the episode.
I should. God, I'm so not so unprepared today. I feel horrible.
But, like, anyways, Ali, by the way, how are you doing?
Are we recording?
I'm kind of excited.
Okay.
Like, you're here.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I like to throw you people off guard. I've been recording
I am doing great. I'm doing great, and I'm very excited to be here.
Really?
In the presence of the one and only Mr. Meljo, Clubhouse star.
What have you heard about me on Clubhouse?
I have heard your voice on Clubhouse. What are you talking about? You are an effing legend. Are we allowed to cuss on here?
Yeah, this is a very...
Okay.
You know, the past couple of guests were asking me, like, can we curse? I'm like, dude, do whatever the fuck you want.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because it's just it's just me releasing energy.
Okay,
so,
like, let me soak it up. Let me soak up that energy.
So I may. I mean, it's very on brand for me, so I think that's okay.
So what have you heard then? What have you heard on Clubhouse? Because I've heard people talking about being on Clubhouse.
No, I mean, like, I've been in the presence of the Meljo in a lot of Clubhouse rooms, and you are just an amazing facilitator. You have a voice for radio and podcasts, and like, you just the sheer way of picking up certain elements when people are speaking, like, you do it with such finesse, and it is just an honor to be in your presence today. Thanks for having me.
That was like the nicest comment that's not really unwarranted, really.
No.
Really?
That's well, because I do MC work on the side as well, and I do it professionally. So like, I'm able to pick up like good MCs, good facilitators really, really quickly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and it's like, it's more of a learning experience for myself too, because like, I have so much to learn from and improve. So like, when I see people that have it, I'm just like, that dude's got it.
Who? Where? We're over there. Who? Where is he over there?
That dude over there. That dude over there, he's pretty good. Yeah, he's
pretty
good.
Well, this is a great place to start, Allie. Yeah. Because I'm sure some listeners outside Japan don't really know what you really do.
And, yeah, yeah, no, of course.
And you are a woman that is
I am
doing
a, woman,
a
yes.
lot of things. I, you are doing a lot, and you're doing a lot of great things. But I guess we could start with...
what do I do?
Bilingual MC stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What do you do exactly? So...
Yeah, and I mean, that's actually a really difficult question because, you know, we live in an age where we're not tied to one profession anymore, right? And I'm very much a millennial in that sense. I have many different jobs and I have, yes, I do bilingual emceeing. That's not really what puts food on the table at the moment. I do it on the side. I do it for friends. I do it to help out people who are in need of my services.
Yeah.
So I was raised my entire life in the U.S. and then I have Japanese parents. So I grew up understanding both languages. But now, after I moved back to Japan in 2004. So wow. My life is like half and half. So it's been in America, half of it, and then the rest has been in Japan.
Yeah.
So I like to think I'm relatively well balanced between both cultures and languages. So when I started working professionally and in the corporate sector, and especially when I started planning my wedding, I realized that there weren't that many actual bilingual MCs. Like people who could switch back and forth, like crack jokes in both languages, like
right.
That was relatively rare.
So, for your wedding, were you actively searching for a bilingual MC?
I was, but I couldn't find any, so I just kind of hired.
Like, fuck it, I'll do it myself.
Which is what I should have done. But I wasn't working as a professional MC at the time, so
right,
I was
right.
kind of like, yeah, what I should have done was just like asked a friend to do it or something, but I was just too, I don't know. So yes, I work as a bilingual MC.
Yeah.
I do it because I realized there was a need for it, and there was like a, there weren't as many as I thought they would be. And I just kind of help out whenever there's...
Because that's fascinating to me, because I would think in Japan there would be a high demand for bilingual MCs, and because that was going to be my thing with
yeah,
you today. Like,
yeah.
I want to know, like, how did you approach it? Like where did you go? What resources you have to, like, you know, figure out to
yeah.
connect with to do it? So, like, where was the starting
yeah.
base point for
I
that?
Mean, I don't know. Well, the way I approach it is very non-traditional. And you're absolutely right. There are a lot of bilingual MCs
right.
because there is high demand. But my niche goes a little bit further because not every Japanese company or event manager needs a fluent English speaker, not a native English speaker. They need someone who can read a script in English
okay.
or go back and translate.
Okay.
But they don't necessarily need someone who's a native English speaker in both languages. And those are rare, is what I'm saying. So there are a lot of great, amazing, flawless MCs who can do the Japanese portion way better than I could ever do. Yeah, and they probably spent many years studying English, and their English is really, really good.
Yeah.
It is phenomenal. It's just not native,
right.
because they started learning it at a, you know, like maybe in after university, for instance.
Okay.
And that's their niche. But my niche was a little bit different because it's like, okay, well, if you need someone who likes parties, who knows how to breathe life into an event, for instance, who is not so prim and proper,
okay.
and can switch back and forth and maybe, like, you know, handle situations on the fly in both languages and kind of switch back and forth.
Is there a method to your madness, like, before you prepare for an event, like, whether, because I checked your YouTube channel,
oh, God.
And I saw your samples, sorry,
yeah,
I mean, I got to do research.
I know.
And
I'm sorry I had to go through that.
And I know you've done sports stuff,
yeah.
You've done, like, Discovery Channel,
mm-hmm,
I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've always wondered, because this is a very fascinating thing, and I think
yeah.
it's very different from... In Japan, what they say, a freelance announcer. I think MCs are quite, like, different from an announcer.
It's very different.
Right?
Very different, yeah.
So, like, is there Is there a method for you how to prepare for that? Or
yeah, I mean, it's different with every event that I do. If yeah. if I'm doing weddings for international couples, yeah. so if it's like a where the bride and groom are from two different cultures, yeah. and I kind of have to bridge that gap. If it's an event like that, then of course I just have to. My main goal there is just to make sure the couple feels very comfortable. Okay. So I take a lot of time getting to know them. You know, I do a lot of like freelance wedding consultant job.
Nice.
I mean, no. I mean, I do it as part of the gig. I don't charge, of course. I just do it to like, make sure the wedding's gonna be fine. Okay, no one's gonna remember what color the linens are.
Any absurd requests or any crazy things that they ask you to do?
Not really. I'm probably because I'm so used to it. I mean, yeah. I've had guests that are very particular about the look.
What's the look?
Oh, meaning like how my hair looks, how my makeup looks, like how
they ask you like.
Oh yeah, no, of course, but I mean this is very normal.
Change your hair color.
No. But I mean, brides usually have a very distinct vision of what they're going for at a wedding. Beforehand, I will send them certain.
So we're going for like a jade palette.
That's actually not far off. I mean, you'd be surprised. I mean, it doesn't.
Do you have anything in your wardrobe?
I will buy outfits for the bride. Yeah, no, that's totally normal.
That's warrior status.
So I guess that's my niche, right? Like, I will cater my entire wardrobe just for that bride. No, that's pretty normal though. If they're going for a theme,
yeah,
I'm gonna buy several outfits. Yeah. Like, I'll send it to the bride and groom and say like, which one do you want me to wear?
Yeah.
Which hair accessory? Like what? That's very normal. So I don't know. But to go back to your question of how I got started. I didn't go to any sort of announcer/MC school.
Okay.
I just started doing it because at the time I was working for Google and I was doing YouTube events at the time. So I was working on the YouTube team and they would have these events and they'd be like, hey, can you like read this? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I could read if that's what you're asking, but I had never been on stage reading a script in front of an audience before. But because I grew up as a performer, I was like, well, how hard could it be? Like, I didn't have stage fright. So I just got on stage, read it, and I kept doing that like once a week, just as part of my job. Some of the guests were asking me for my business card because they thought I was a professional MC. And I was like, no, I'm not. I don't do this for a living. I just work here. Like I'm part of the team on the ground. And that's when I started to realize, this is easy for me. Like, there's a demand for it, which I discovered during my wedding. And I realized that it wasn't that difficult for me to do. And people thought I was a professional. And I was like, wait a second. So that's when I created the website that you saw. And that's kind of, and then I had agencies reach out to me.
Just kind of like an epiphany, like just a light, just like, whoo.
No, I was like, I never thought I would do this professionally. I just thought I was just doing it, and people thought I was good enough that I could charge money for it. So that's kind of how I got started. And then I had agencies reach out to me that they wanted to represent me, and I was like, wow. Okay. So, but you know, like I, as I mentioned, this is not really the job that puts food on the table at the moment, because I just do it as a favor or for friends, or I still do it for couples when they reach out to me directly and they choose me.
I wish I knew you, but like our wedding was in the Philippines. Mm. But like, I wish I knew you then, because I would have loved to have you come down. It was a beach wedding, and like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, we would have paid for it. Like, I know you're looking. You're like, damn it.
Where in the Philippines was it?
Boracay Island.
Oh my God.
Sorry. But it was a hot mess for me, though. That entire ordeal was so stressful for me.
Yeah, like, I can imagine.
Like, basically babysitting, like, 20 Japanese people on the plane that don't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And bring them to Manila and to Boracay Island.
And Boracay too, which it's not easy
to
get there.
And I'm sitting there like being the you know, like it was like the Underground Railroad.
I know.
Dragging them.
No, exactly. And it's just like getting a conservative Japanese crowd to get drunk past the point of, oh, I don't care anymore. There's an art to it.
Yes, there really is. Thank you.
And I think that's my niche too, where I was just like, okay, yeah, it takes a certain style of drinking and a certain momentum of drinking in order for them.
When you were younger, were you always the one that hosted parties or events or planned?
Not really.
Really? Okay. Because I would think you would be a great delegator. Like, I think, I would imagine you'd be like...
Maybe.
Okay, you do this, you do that, let's get
Or maybe I was, I don't remember. I don't know, it was a long time ago, I'm old.
Okay. Maybe I was. Not looking right now, like, what? I'm old. What's going on here?
How old are you?
You don't even know?
No. Okay,
you'll know.
Different topic.
Exactly. But like, I figure you're such a... I look at you now, but when I hear your voice, I find you as a woman of authority. I don't know what it is. But like, it's beyond managerial voice.
Yeah.
It's more like, okay, everyone, team, party, group, we need to get this done.
Yeah.
Like, I find you being the one to be
So which kind of leads me into my day job, which is what I do.
Yeah, because I don't know.
So I... You mentioned my work on Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
That is my full-time job.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, yes, I work as a producer, head of content, programming, acquisitions, like all of content marketing. Like, that's what I do for Discovery Channel in Japan. That's my full-time. I do that Monday through Friday, and I manage an organization. I have an entire team of people working for me. I manage six YouTube channels.
Get into this job.
So like I said, like I used to work for YouTube. That was my career.
Okay,
so I started my career off in engineering. So I came to Japan for university. Let's go way back. I came to Japan for university. It was supposed to be a 4-year stint, and I was planning on going back to the Midwest where I grew up. But I liked Tokyo so much that I was like, you know what? No, I'm not going back to Ohio. I'm going to stay here.
What's wrong with Ohio?
There's nothing wrong with Ohio. It's just not Tokyo.
Okay, I know. I mean, I've driven through it.
That's what everyone says. Yeah, exactly. No one goes to
Columbus
Ohio.
It's okay.
It's not bad. You know? Like, no one dies there. You know? Like, but it's Columbus, you know? Like, I'm just like, no shade to Columbus. Love you. 614. But
Columbus people, you're good.
614. Love it.
There we go.
Okay.
But
it's just not Tokyo. Like, no one's gonna deny that fact, right? So it's just like, I grew up cow tipping. And now, like, I can pay for really expensive milk that is expensive for no real reason because Japan. I can pay for $46 melons because Japan. Yeah, you know, I can't have that experience in Ohio.
You know, that's the stuff paying $46 for a melon.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that makes me sad about living in Japan because...
No, that is the insanity of Japan. That is the art of Japan. What are you talking about?
Is that what keeps us here?
Yes, that
is locked in?
Exactly. That we Tokyoites are an insane species. The things we do make no sense and would be considered utterly insane elsewhere.
500 yen for 3 pieces of strawberry?
Absolutely,
yes. Let's do it.
I'll have 2 of those. And that is why we are stuck here, and it's spoiled me. So yeah, it's, okay. I stayed in Tokyo. My first job out of university, I was actually a database engineer. So I was a systems engineer. I started off in the tech world, did that for 3 years, realized that I like Windows and talking to people too much, that I left that career. And then I went to Google. And I was working in advertising sales first, got into the YouTube team after that, and my job there for several years was helping Japanese YouTubers navigate the platform.
Okay.
So it's like kind of being their business manager in understanding how the YouTube platform works, introducing them to new features. But I would say 80% of my role was just being kind of their like shoulder to cry on sometimes. It's a hard job. Like being a YouTuber is a very, very creating is a very difficult job.
This may surprise you, but the world of Japanese YouTube is very new to me these days.
Yeah.
And then I'm just slowly dabbing into it, it's a little different from what I see outside Japan.
Yeah.
Like what have you experienced with dealing with many of these YouTubers? Like, I wonder, what is the target audience, but like, what is usually the material that most, or the content that most Japanese YouTubers want to go for?
I don't think it's any different from the US now, because it's expanded so much.
Yeah.
Back when I first started, it was interesting, you know, like it was think early stages of Japanese TV at its prime, so like 1990s, a lot of pranks, for instance, a lot of reviews. There was a lot of food-based reviews. There was a lot of that.
It's still going on,
a lot of
right?
cooking like shows.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. But most of those YouTubers who have started 10 years ago, they've really evolved and they've become a brand on their own. So they don't necessarily do the same content.
Okay.
I don't think it's really that different from anything else that's popular outside of Japan anymore, just because there are. When I started, I think there were like maybe 1,000 YouTubers, but now there are like 100,000. So,
like, I don't know which newspaper article, but I remember like I read an article recently, like a survey, like top three job, like they surveyed like Japanese elementary school students, and they're like the top three jobs that they want to do is like number three, policeman, number two,
soccer player,
number one, YouTuber / e-gamer, and I was just like, whoa. What is going on right now?
Yeah, well, think about what they're exposed to every day, right? They spend their whole day watching YouTube. Those are their heroes. You know, we didn't have YouTube, we had TV, so of course we're going to aspire to be those kinds of people, but... Yeah.
So that jump from that position to Discovery.
To Discovery. So because I was working with YouTubers, but also brands.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
I was working with brands and media companies and helping them navigate the platform as well. And when I was working with these brands and creators, even though I was giving them advice, if they implement that advice, that work is not mine. You know, that's their work. And I'm just like, you know, soft golf clap, and I'm like, yay! But none of that work is really due to me. They're the ones who put in the hard work and the energy, and like, that's on them. So what I wanted to do was, I was like, oh, what if I go to a content owner and I join their team? And then I can really exercise my muscles and see if I could
do it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So at the time, Discovery was looking for a marketer. So I joined their team and I was like, you know, you have a lot of content. I happen to know YouTube pretty well. Why don't we take a stab at this? Yeah. So that's kind of how I got started. Since then, we started the Discovery Channel Japan YouTube channel.
When did that start?
So 2018.
Okay.
So about 2 years ago. So it'll be 2 years this fall. And yeah, so we just kind of started putting out content. We started doing well immediately, thank God, because I was worried. And since then, we've expanded to 6 YouTube channels now.
Wow.
Yeah, and now I have an entire team running the organization.
And you're still doing shows? Because I saw some, what is that, the series? D-Box?
Yeah.
Is that? And I saw you like, let's learn how to make paper airplanes.
What
is this?
No, exactly. So I produced 2 shows on the channel.
Okay.
One was D-Box, not to be confused with the popular SNL skit. Which I know there could be a lot of jokes made about that, but it's okay because it's Japan.
I'm restraining myself.
It's fine. It was inspired by D-News, which was also a Discovery show, it's more of like a pop science e-learning show, which kind of takes topics like what happens when you hold your pee, or like what...
It's like you just took over Bill Nye the Science Guy's job.
We're trying.
Those are some. He's like, Allie, we need you to step in.
I mean, those are some big shoes to fill, though. So I don't really like to compare myself to Bill Nye. Like,
I mean, you're stepping into a legend's place.
Yeah, I know. No, I can never, ever take that legend's place. No, I mean, we're just trying to, like, those educational explainers are huge everywhere else, but. They didn't have that many in Japan, so I thought it was kind of a white space. So I was like, you know what, like, this is on brand with Discovery. I initially started creating it as more community engagement / sales material, because we could take a sponsor, for instance, and, you know, we could explain anything using that technology.
My educational background, my mind, I would imagine this would be a great step forward to push it to the school systems, right? Like, do you dabble into that too?
I mean, we've collaborated with schools in the past. Yeah. They've been in episodes as well.
Okay.
So, like, they've also come and watched a shoot, for instance. Mm-hmm. They've been in the episode. So, like, yeah, no, I mean, we've also taken all 60 episodes that we have or something, and we've implemented them on our OTT platform that we had at the time. And so, like, we've put it under the science/education. We've dabbled in it, yes. So there's that show, which I am the producer of, but I'm only on camera talent because we didn't have enough money to hire talent. Yeah. This is how people are like, oh, you're so famous on YouTube. I'm like, no, I just didn't have any money to hire a professional. So, you know, when you just gotta do everything.
Anything this weekend? Come on down.
No, exactly. You know, it's like when you can't control it, you gotta do it yourself, right? You gotta be the producer, you gotta write the script, you gotta do the research, you gotta be on camera, on-screen talent, you gotta do everything. So luckily I had like a kick-ass production crew. But everything else I had to do by myself.
Sounds like it.
So, yeah, like the research, the script writing, like it was just...
crew with you for anything that you do?
For now I do, yes.
That's awesome. Because I've always believed that, like, having a crew like that as a family, that's super key to making a great content.
Absolutely it is. Because there's just so much information that's exchanged when you create content. And when you work with the same family, there's so much information that you don't need to relay. They just get it. They just get it, just through experience.
Huh.
So, yeah. And then the other show is Wild Alley, which I didn't name.
Yeah, we
damn it.
I dabbled into it. Actually, this morning I was watching a little bit of it.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Sorry, I want to embarrass you. But
thank you.
Yeah. And like, it was like you, like, after 5 days out in some island.
Yeah, exactly.
And you were checking your weight and everything.
Oh, so that was on my channel.
Oh, I want to eat some food now.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like, but like, right. Well, I'm guessing, did you just create that concept?
Yeah.
This Wild Alley concept?
Okay. Yeah. So, that was created very last minute because Discovery Channel in Japan is known for its survival/adventure content.
Yes.
So, put a guy on a deserted island, don't give him anything, completely naked. see if he survives for 10 days. And these people are, you know, ex-British Army, so, like, they'll figure it out. And they're filming the whole time, but they'll figure it out because they are...
Send an alley. Yes, she'll figure it out.
No, exactly. So the plan was to have that star. His name is Ed Stafford. He's an amazing.
So he's like one of those like Bear Grylls.
Exactly. Okay. He is just like Bear Grylls. Yeah. Ex British Army captain. Yeah. All around badass.
Okay.
And really, really nice guy. So he was planning on coming to Japan last year to shoot with us. I don't know if you've heard of COVID, but that happened, so he wasn't able to come.
No!
So what do you do when you don't have your star, right?
Send in
the producer. Because who else is going to do it? And, like, for better or for worse, like, the audience of that YouTube channel already knew who I was because I had been on Detox.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to send any other person in that cast on an island to not eat. Like, how could I do that to somebody?
Well, shit, Allie, I wish you knew me, like, that time period because I had a lot of free time. You should have sent me.
I know.
And I'll be like, what? Did I just sign up? What is going on here?
Yeah, no, exactly.
How was that experience, though? That hanging out? I'm looking at your face right now, and you're just like grinding your teeth.
Nah, it's exactly what you would expect. You know, not having anything on a deserted island, hoping you're going to survive. Like, that's bonkers.
Are you into camping?
No, I hate camping. I had never camped in my life.
Even, what is that, glamping?
No, never. I had never gone glamping, camping. I was a Girl Scout, which taught me sails, but that's it. Like, I didn't know how to tie knots.
What was your favorite Girl Scouts cookie?
Samoas.
Okay, you're okay. I like Thin Mints. Thin Mints, come on!
That's basic.
What?
Real basic.
Why is Thin Mints basic?
That's what everyone likes.
It's just freaking good. Like, how do you,
Thin
like...
Thin Mints are great, too.
Samoas are great. I get it. But, no. Wait a minute. What was the most popular cookie? Samoas? Or Thin Mints?
Thin Mints.
Yeah.
Tagalongs were pretty popular.
Tagalongs were... That was my least favorite, though.
Yeah. When I was selling, too, there were also these really... There was these caramel chocolate ones called Juliet's. They don't sell them anymore. Those were really popular, too. I don't know why they got rid of them.
So you sold the cookies, but you didn't go fucking camping.
No, yeah, no, exactly. So I had zero experience, aside from like watching Discovery Channel because I had to, watch it. So I did a lot of watching, but I had no real life experience, and then I was thrusted onto this island with no knife, no tent. They gave me a sleeping bag so I don't die.
Well, you had a smartphone.
No, I had a camera.
You had a camera, that's it.
Yeah.
And
a laptop just so I could join my Zoom calls. Because Japan.
No smartphone, but a laptop.
Mm-hmm. And occasional Wi-Fi just for the Zoom calls. How very Japanese. Yeah. I thought that would give it a nice touch. You know? She's like, I'm not a survival expert, but I'm an office worker.
It's terrible out here. I gotta sign out. And then, like, Zoom call.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, exactly.
So what are we doing next tomorrow morning?
Although, like, it really puts into perspective, like, how important some meetings are. When you're in a life or death situation and, like, you might pass out and people are talking about the darnest shit. It really puts things into perspective.
Were you scared of like predators or animals?
I was lucky on the first island. So the island that I did go to, they had raccoon dogs, but that's it.
Oh, okay.
But that's it. I didn't encounter any sort of predators. If we do shoot a season 2, which I would like to...
I'm seeing the Allie profile, the delegator and the woman that loves to feel pain. I think you just love to hurt yourself.
I know, right? Humans are stupid. We forget why we, when we go through pain, we forget. You know? And I'm a woman.
I'm feeling you that right now. Yeah. I'm feeling the aura.
I mean the human brain is pretty
sadistic.
It is, and it's pretty remarkable, because we really only remember the good parts, even though I hated it when I was there. Like, it just all dissipates when you're done. You're like, that was a good time. No, it was a horrible time, but I choose not to remember those things. It's kind of like why women have multiple children, right? We forget. We're like, we see the cute little faces of our children. We're like,
and you're like,
I want another one.
Again,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Let's go. Let's do it again.
I mean, you forget how awful the pregnancy and the childbirth really was, and you're like, I'm gonna have another one. You know, like that's how remarkable our brains are.
Yeah, it's fascinating because I never, ever. I've always respected women and that process of giving birth.
Yeah.
I have never, for a second of my life, think about like wanting to experience that.
Yeah.
Never.
No, like, I know.
Like and yeah, I don't want to. But I think for you though, you were supposed to be, you were a sub. You were coming in, going to the wild, and now you're like, I want to do it again. This is nice. I want to do it again.
I mean, people liked it, so
we gotta give the people
what we want, what they want, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
That's the business that you're in.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Exactly. So I mean, we started on the bilingual emceeing. I kind of told you about my career,
yeah.
Which is, you know, producer slash organization manager slash content creator slash like host of two shows slash amateur survivalist.
Take those boxes off. What's
masochist? Like, you just, I don't know.
What is next, Allie?
Is there anything else you'd like to know about me? Former Girl Scout.
Like, I was actually going to ask you a question about, you know, your modeling career, you know, but like is that
I don't have a modeling career.
Yeah. I see some beautiful pictures of you on Instagram.
Yeah, no, I just really like to rep photographers because I think they're really underrepresented. Like, a good photographer is just like, they're really hard to come by.
I agree.
And when I see one, I immediately want to work with them and at least try and promote them on my small but passionate community of people.
And the photos I've seen recently, shout out to Brandon.
What's up, Brandon?
Brandon. Yeah, I agree. Like, if it weren't for the social media, not knowing these other photographers, like, I don't know. Like, I would not know. And yes.
They're so underrated.
They're so rated, yeah.
So, like, I enjoy working with photographers. I enjoy getting my picture taken because I am a self-absorbed bitch. But I own it. I own it. I have this mantra of I am the youngest I will be today than I am tomorrow, right? So it's just like, why not get my picture taken today? Because I'm going to be older tomorrow, right? I can't sit here and be like, no, I'm too old to get my picture taken because I look good today.
I'm feeling it today.
I mean, I gotta think that way.
You're looking damn confident today, for sure.
Thank you. See, it just comes with age and experience.
I love it, though. But, like, it seems, you know, good on you, Allie. I actually want to say good on you because it seems like even through these times, and the past few guests I've had, I've always been talking about, you know, during the COVID-19 times.
Yeah.
You seem to be, you know, keeping head on, like you're moving forward. I was just wondering, like, how was it for you this past year and a half or 2 years now, almost? You know, like, how was it for you?
I mean, I would consider myself one of the lucky ones because my work in media was really unaffected by it, right? So I didn't lose my job, although my emceeing career suffered
for sure.
Because I had a lot lined up going towards into the Olympics as well. So I lost all of that. So my MC career definitely suffered, but I also had my day job, which really wasn't affected. So it didn't affect me as much as it affected most people, so I consider myself definitely lucky.
Do you miss going back to the States?
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense of, I miss seeing friends. There's a lot of friends and people who I consider family that I haven't seen in a long time. But no, in the sense that I got everything I need right here.
Let me tell you something. Just talking to people recently.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have any good sources, but I am missing some microwavable popcorn. I miss, Orvinville microwave.
Orville.
Popcorn.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if you know any good sources, because I'm struggling right now in Japan.
I heard they have some at Costco.
Wrong.
What?
My connect went to Costco. And she could not find any.
Are you sure?
The one in Yokohama. The Costco in Yokohama. And she said, Mel, I looked and looked, and she could not find the butter flavor popcorn. And I'm struggling right now.
So that is so weird.
And that's my stress right now.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm just wondering, is there something that you're fiending? It doesn't have to be food, but there's something fiending that you cannot get, because I'm struggling right now with that. I can do the supermarket, they have
the
fried
the weird yeah.
It's not the same.
No, that's not the same.
It's not the same.
I'll definitely let you know, because I've definitely seen it.
Okay.
And I have I usually have about 5 or 6 in my house.
You need to immediately text me when
yes,
you find
I will,
them. Because I'm starting to flip out, lose my mind.
Hey, no joke. Everything's gonna be okay, man.
No, it's not.
Everything's gonna be okay.
It's not.
I hear you.
The amount of Netflix I watch.
Mm-hmm.
I need my popcorn.
I hear you, and I promise. Yo, dude, everything's gonna be fine. We're gonna find you your popcorn, okay? Look at me.
Yeah.
We're gonna find you your popcorn. Everything's gonna be fine.
I'm about to cry.
Everything's gonna be fine.
This is like therapy for me right now.
Yeah.
I'm missing my.
Do you see? This is what I do with creators. This is 80% of my job. I'd be like, yo, everything's gonna be fine, okay? We're talking about popcorn right now. Everything's fine. Dude, you're good. Awesome.
Yeah, okay. Oh, Ellie, you
Everything's
are awesome. And thank you for coming here and just,
no,
just chilling out.
No, of course.
We will talk more.
I hope this was productive, because I just...
It may be, but we'll see.
I feel like we didn't really cover anything we were supposed to.
But hey, that's what my podcast is about.
Awesome.
It should be called Made in Not Covering What We're Supposed to Be Covering.
No, I know. I really wish we could talk more about Japan, but instead it was just about me and my self-absorbed nature. And how amazing Meljo is, which is much more important. But if anyone can find a microwave popcorn in Tokyo, please click the link in the description. Because we need to help Meljo. You know?
By the way, do you have any other plugs besides popcorn? Anything you want to talk about later? No? Nothing?
I mean,
Final words.
I call myself a professional weirdo, because I dabble in so many different areas of business. If you like weird people and you want to be weird together, we can chat on Instagram.
Perfect. Perfect. And if you feel lucky enough, you can catch Allie on Clubhouse too.
Yes.
If you feel lucky.
If you feel lucky, yes. I'm on there sometimes. Sometimes.
But seriously, Allie, homegirl, thank you for so
thank
much.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Yeah, maybe this was productive, maybe it wasn't, but hey. This was good.
I hope you found it entertaining.
Yeah. All right, cheers. Thank you.
Thanks.
Made in Japan podcast is produced and created by me, Meljo Catalan, and all songs were written by me unless noted otherwise. To contact, please feel free to email me at japanmademepodcast@gmail.com. Also, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Made in Japan Podcast, as well as on Clubhouse as at Made in Japan Pod. Feel free to check out Allie. You can find her on her Instagram and her Twitter at XSNW. That's at XSNW. And check out her private YouTube, which is, I believe it's Ali Sakakibara. And also, you can check out Discovery Channel Japan to check out all her Wild Ali episodes. You are listening to Made in Japan Podcast, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. Thank you for listening, and it is a blast to have someone on face-to-face. I can continue to gradually go back to how it was before the pandemic, so yes. Thank you for listening, and if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please contact me through whatever channel that you can reach me at. And as well, of course, you can listen to me on all of your podcast platforms, and you know, however you listen to your podcast. And if you listen to Made in Japan podcast on Apple, please feel free to subscribe and you know, leave a review or comment. Or even on Spotify, leave a review or comment. Any bit of information can help me out. That's all for this week. Take care, and I will see you next time. Peace out.